This podcast's only purpose is for informational use. It is not a recommendation to buy or sell a security. Investing in the market is risky, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Welcome to episode 15. Wow, we're getting up there. This is the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast. Bubbly, sparkling wine on the side. Back with another episode of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast, the podcast where I give my 2 cents on the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your money. My first semester of my sophomore year of college is finally coming to an end. I've completed my last final, essay after essay, all while trying to work full-time and make some podcast content, and gotta say it's a relief to be done. It's really nice, but you know, gonna continue to work. So is it really a break? I don't know. Online school is really one of those things that is tough to really grab a hold of and fully apply yourself, at least in my experience. It's much less stressful though, I will say, and much more time conserving compared to in-person classes where, I mean, you'd basically just be sitting there in a lecture hall for 2 hours plus whatever travel you may have had to get there. I know for my school experience, I would live on campus because there was two different campuses. So I would live on campus at one of the campuses, and then I would have some of my business finance classes on the other campus. So I would have to drive from the campus with the dorms to the other campus for like a couple of my classes. So I was doing this maybe every other day, really time consuming, but that's right, we're doing online now, which is pretty lit. I also really prefer being able to work full time and going to school. So yeah, online, you know, it's way cheaper. It's like a fifth of the price of what I was paying to live on campus. And I get to make much more money because when I was on campus, I would basically just work weekends, and that was about it. But that is not the topic we have to talk about today. Today's episode is on something that I got inspired by money guru Farnoosh Torabi to talk about because I heard her talking about it on her podcast, So Money. It's the topic of spending all your money before you die. And this is a little bit of a weird one, but when you hear this, I bet you get this excited feeling imagining what it would be like to just go nuts with the spending because, you know, you have nothing to lose, you're about to die, but what she talks about isn't specifically that. As a well-known financial journalist that has been doing it for years, Farnoosh is basically one of those figures in the personal finance community that you need to be familiar with. She brings so much value and so much knowledge, it's unparalleled. She wrote an opinion piece on Bloomberg around October about the topic that I'm talking about today, and that is pretty much what I'm basing it off of, also what she's mentioned in on her podcast. But in this Bloomberg opinion piece, she starts off talking about how in 2020, she took some time to move around her investments in her Roth IRA. She sold some stocks during the massive swell of yield this past year. She also says that she ended up buying a house during the pandemic, which I actually think is a great move considering interest rates were, and I think still are, I actually don't know, they were at all-time lows in the housing market. While this is an incredible move by Farnoosh, it might be a bit more nerve-wracking for others, as you know, with job security being as unstable as it is now and back then. But with all this being said, she says that she has no regrets with any of the financial maneuvers that she made. Now, before I get into the body of this piece, think for maybe just a second, what would you do if you were 85 with $1 million, $2 million in the bank? Where would you put that cash? What would you spend it on? What experiences could it get you? What type of donations to charity would you be considering? Put yourself in the situation of someone with the goal of allocating everything that you have before or even after you pass away. Because, you know, you want that legacy, you want that generational, you know, effect on society. Farnoosh lists off a couple of examples in this regard. Steve Jobs' wife, Laureen, who inherited $20 billion after Steve passed away, she vows to give all of her assets away to social and economic causes that are in need. Warren Buffett famously stating that his kids are getting 0% of his fortune. All these people that spent all of this time accumulating this wealth are planning on donating most, if not all of it. Now let's bring it back a little bit because, you know, we don't have $1 billion. So let's bring it down to scale. If you're my age and have begun investing in a Roth IRA, which I hope all, if not most of you have, and you've been investing in highly diverse index funds, and let's say you annually contribute about $4,000 to your Roth IRA, which is around $334 a month or $84 a week. If this had an expected return of 7% with a 25% marginal tax rate, if you retire by 65, you would have $1.2 million. Now, this is from the age of 20 to 65 with a fixed rate of return, which isn't probable considering it could either be higher or lower. But that $1.2 million, that, I mean, you wouldn't have had if you hadn't begun investing. So now that you have this number in the back of your mind, would this be enough? Would this be enough for you to live off of from the age of 65 until your eventual passing? Farnoosh says that, quote, your survival number is more bare bones than the standard retirement savings recommendation of needing between 8 and 10 times of your salary or living off of 80% of your pre-retirement income. Maybe that figure could be closer to 40% or 50%, especially if you downsize earlier or live in a more affordable place. And this is really what you need to think about when you're saving for retirement. What is the number that I'm reaching for? If you're my age and, you know, you may need to wait a few years before you're a salaried employee somewhere or before you start earning good money in whatever career that you make. But if you don't have an idea of what you want to do or how much you could earn, learning how to invest and beginning your investing path will only be beneficial for you. There's no way that it could hurt you unless you invest in a bunch of risky assets. She gives another awesome tip, which is rethink what retirement means to you. You might have grown up with grandparents that lived in Florida during the summer or year-round, and that was their retirement. But maybe this isn't your style. Maybe you want to travel, or maybe you don't want to actually stop working as long as you can help it. These things are applicable to you, the individual. Honestly, I'm considering the fact that I might not officially retire in the classical sense of retirement. I will probably want to continue projects that I have going on, or maybe even develop a real estate portfolio. This could be a great source of continuous income, and at the end of the day, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do 100% because you have the funds to go back and officially retire. Like, there's nothing holding you. There's no job. There's no bills holding you if you are able to live within your means and have that money invested. Her final tip is one that could be crucial to some of you depending on your goals and values. It's have a plan when it comes to your future kids, if that's your thing. Leaving an inheritance for your kids is one thing, but maybe you would be concerned that they wouldn't do substantial things with it. She's a quote from her interview with the author of the book, Die with Zero, Getting All You Can from Your Money and Your Life. This book is by Bill Perkins. Farnoosh says that Perkins thought that if we were trying to have the maximum impact on our kids' lives, we want to basically deliberately choose to give them money in a certain time frame, not when they're in their 60s and their health is declining. I thought this was an incredible point because what good is their inheritance going to do when, you know, you're living to 100, considering what age and what healthcare we'll have then, and your kids are 70? Their fire will probably be burnt out and they won't have any substantial projects to work on. The point that they're both getting at is that siphoning wealth to your kids throughout your actual life, running the risk of spoiling them, may be more effective if you explain the long-term plan for your money and what it should mean to them. At the end of the day, we're all just trying to do what makes us happy. Always do what makes you happy, whether that's blowing your money at 70 or donating it all to charity. I will not judge you. And thank you so much for anyone who made it this far in the episode. I'm going to do a quick one today because I have some finals I need to work on. I know I said I finished my last one, but I have an essay that I need to turn in that's due tomorrow. So I'm going to keep this one quick. But thank you so much for listening. And if you aren't from TikTok or Twitter, I would love it if you followed me on TikTok and Twitter at 2cents20yearold. I'll be back very soon with another episode. Thank you.